This is number 12 in the series of the beliefs of the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we've come to the section on righteousness. So let's turn to that section, righteousness, and we will begin the righteousness of the law. And as we have in each section, when we come to it, what we will do, we will read the belief. Righteousness of the law. God is both creator and lawgiver. When God created mankind, he also established righteous laws which govern man's relationship with him and with his fellow man. The laws of God draw a clear line between actions which are good and righteous in God's eyes, as opposed to acts that are evil and sinful. Without God's laws, there would be no sin. The scriptures declare that where there is no law, there is no sin, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The biblical record of the sins of Adam and Eve and the nations which descended from them makes it clear that God's laws have been obligatory upon mankind from the beginning. In Old Testament times, a man or woman who kept the commandments of God, fulfilling his requirements in the letter of the law, was counted as righteous before God. This type of righteousness, which was earned by doing the works of the law, brought many physical and material blessings from God: health and prosperity, deliverance from enemies, peace and long life. When God covenanted with Israel, he proclaimed through Moses that those who kept his laws shall live in them, because they would be spared the punishment and curses that were appointed for lawbreakers, including death by capital punishment. Although the righteousness of the law resulted in many blessings to the obedient, fulfilling the letter of the law did not and could not earn salvation. The promise of salvation and eternal life is God's free gift, free and undeserved gift, and is offered only through the righteousness of faith. It cannot be earned by fulfilling the letter of the law. The required righteousness of the letter of the law was a schoolmaster or tutor to reveal the sinfulness and wickedness of human nature and to point to a need for a better righteousness, the righteousness of faith. So let's go ahead and cover the righteousness of the law. Let's just begin with some of the scriptural references right there. Genesis 3. Now remember, whatever God commands, going against that command is sin. And if we keep that in mind, then we will understand, even though we have the general summary of things here concerning the creation and the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which we have covered here in the recent past, there is still sin. Now we find here, beginning in verse 11, after Adam said that he hid himself because he was naked. Verse 11, and he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? So any command of God, when broken or gone against, is sin. Now we know from the things we've covered before that by one man, sin entered into the world. Now that is Adam. And by sin, death. And death passed to all. So this is sin. Now, verse 12, whenever there is sin, everyone looks for a way to blame someone else. And this is basic in human nature down to this day. The man said, the woman you gave to be with me. So now it's God's fault. It's God's fault because you gave me a woman. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I did eat. And so God does not take to palming the sin off to someone else. You're still held responsible for it. Now, we won't go into all about Adam and Eve and everything that happened, but to show you that there is sin, let's come to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and the occasion of giving the offering by Abel and Cain. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, it's not wrong to bring an offering of the fruit of the ground according to the commandments of God as he gave instruction. There are first fruits which are to be brought. There is a tithe which is to be brought. So apparently he did something other than what God commanded. Now, a fruit of the ground offering was never given to forgive sin, was never given as a special offering like a burnt offering. It never had the weight of that kind of offering. So apparently Cain, in bringing this offering, was trying to put that kind of weight upon it, which was contrary to the way of God. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now, just an aside here. Firstlings tell us that there was a law of the firstborn, and you can read that when we get into the book of Moses. We won't during this series. But the firstborn were to be redeemed. And the firstborn was then, with the offering here, was to be brought, where then it was to be offered to God. So he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and as Tyndale translates it, lowered. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, now why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, according to the letter of the law, shall you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be its desire, but you shall rule over it. And that's the way it should read. It is in the masculine tense there in the Hebrew, but it should read it. So it shows that even God expects those without his Holy Spirit to do what is right according to the letter of the law. And in that, he would have been accepted for what he did. Now, this is way before salvation being offered, so we'll cover that a little bit later. Now, let's see what happens when sin grows. And as we're living in the world today, and as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. Let's turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter, please, and let's see the account here. When the world ignores God and rejects God or creates its own gods, and as we know from history and in the New Testament, that Cain's way was called the way of Cain. So Cain invented his own religion. But because he killed Abel, he was exiled even further and cut off from God. So in creating his own religion, then he created something which was not related to God, but it had all the trappings of things which were supposed to relate to God. Now, if you have never heard of the book, or if you've never read the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, let me recommend that you get it. And if you're on the net, you can surf the net, and there are several areas where you can get The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and that will show you the antiquity of all of the pagan religions going clear back to the time of Cain, and coming up to the time of Noah before the flood, and then the time of Noah right after the flood. So it's very significant when Jesus said that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it will be the same as it was in the days of Noah. Now let's read it here, beginning in verse 5, Genesis 6. And this is where we are headed in the world today. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Now, what you may want to do, you may want to look at the Ten Commandments of God. We've already covered that in the series. Just make a listing of those, and when you sit down in front of your television, just run some little accounting tick marks. And just go right through wherever you see a commandment of God broken. Just take your little sheet and just tick right alongside there. You can start out with no other gods before the true God. You'll fill up the whole page. You know, you might have to have a separate page for each one. And then, you shall not make any graven image or bow down to it. Shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And honor your father and mother, and shall not commit murder, shall not commit adultery, and all the rest, all the way down to the tenth one on coveting. And every time you see an ad, you can put one by the tenth commandment of coveting, because all of those are based upon covetousness. But what you're going to see is that today we have more forces coming in upon our minds to bring us to evil, even in a greater way than it was here. We've got television. We have music. We have video games. We have literature. We have art. We have all of these things. So when you look at it, when God says that he shut the whole world up under sin, he literally has. And it's going to multiply, and it's going to increase, just like this. Now, God was so sad at this point, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now here is a great lesson for us. There are very few who really want to follow God. There are millions which say, oh yes, we want God our way. But you can't have God your way. You must have God his way. Because he is God, and you are not. Now notice, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Verse 11. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, that's why Christ must come the second time. And he's going to let this build up in the greatest crescendo that there has ever been. But we'll save that for another time. We're looking at the righteousness of the law. Now, let's come to Leviticus 18 and verse 15. God gave all the laws and commandments and statutes to Israel. And, of course, most religions today reject the laws and commandments and statutes of God by saying, well, they all were done away in Christ. Well, we'll cover that a little bit later. We'll see, no, it was never done away in Christ. So you can count that as one of the lies of the evil imaginations of religious people. Now let's just begin Leviticus 18 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. That is all of their false religious gods. And their system of religion that they had. Because they did not worship God. All of their righteousness was in fact sin. Verse 4, you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, if you want a very interesting Bible study, do this. Go through, you might get a concordance. If you don't have a concordance, you can get a Strong's Concordance at any Bible bookstore, and you look up the phrase, I am the Lord, and see how many times through the Bible God says, He is the Lord. And I think that'll be very instructive for you to understand that God's Word is truth, God's Word is righteous, and what God says, He backs it up with His very being. I am the Lord your God. Now, verse 5, continuing in Leviticus 18. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So they were to do them. They were to live in them. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 28 for just a minute. We'll just touch on it here, just summarize it. Now you can write in for two more detailed sermons on the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. But let's go to Deuteronomy 28, showing the righteousness of the law, the blessings that would come for doing these physically, keeping them in the letter of the law. Now, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God shall set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, we're going to see how God deals with nations in just a bit. So this has to do with physical nations, physical people, keeping the commandments of God in the letter of the law, the righteousness of the law, which if a man do, even he shall live in them. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now that's another interesting study. Look up all the places where it talks about the voice of the Lord your God. And I think you'll find out that what God says, he means. Now let's continue. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket in store. And this is what everyone wants, isn't it? Doesn't every nation want this? Yes. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouse and all that you set your hand to do, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Establish you as a holy people. You'll be plenteous, verse 11, in goods, the fruit of the body, the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, that the land which the Lord your God swore to give to your fathers. Now then, he says, over in verse 15, it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you. And as I read some of these, notice that they are upon us as a nation now. Notice that they are upon the world today. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand for to do, until he has destroyed you, that you until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doing, whereby you have forsaken me. Then you read the rest of Deuteronomy 28, and you need to know that that is coming upon this nation, and it's also coming upon the world. And that's why God is calling you out of it to repent of these things and come to him. Now, let's come to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And this becomes very important. Now, we've already covered concerning the Sabbath and holy days in this series, but let's just reemphasize it here in Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And this is showing where God corrected the children of Israel because they didn't keep his Sabbath, because they didn't keep his holy days. And that's very important. What we also need to understand is this. There is not one word in all of the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, that shows God ever approved of or sanctified Sunday as a day of worship. Nowhere. So if you're a Protestant and you believe that you are correct and you believe that you should keep Sunday, then you need to challenge yourself to prove from the Scriptures whether you should keep Sunday or the Sabbath is the day that God created and gave. Now let's pick it up here, Ezekiel 20 and verse 11. He said, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, even he shall live in them." The letter of the law, righteousness of the law. "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths," plural, "to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them." So you can just take the opposite reasoning here, which is important to also consider. If you don't keep the Sabbath, how can you know the Lord? And if you do keep Sunday, which is not the Sabbath, then the Lord that you know is not the Lord of the Bible. So you need to understand that. Now notice, verse 13, "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes. They despise my judgments, which if a man do, even he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted." Well, you can read the rest of the account, what God did there in Ezekiel 20. Let's come to Jeremiah 18, because this becomes very important. Jeremiah 18. This tells us that God judges all nations, all wars, all famines, all floods, disasters do not come by accidents or caprice. They come by the judgment of God. Notice what he says here. Let's pick it up right in verse 1 so we can get the whole story flow. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now here's the key, verse 7. "At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom? To pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it." We're going to see some examples here. Let's go back to Genesis 15 for just a minute. Genesis 15, when God gave the covenant to Abraham, he also told him why it was not going to come immediately, because there was something that had yet to happen, and it had to do with the behavior of the Canaanites. Pick it up in verse 13. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance, and you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come out here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God lets the iniquity come to the full before he brings the final judgment. Now back here to Jeremiah 18 and verse 8. And he did pull them down. He did pluck them down. Now he's talking to Israel. He's talking to Judah. And let's understand something here very clearly. The 10 tribes of Israel were sent off into captivity because they didn't repent. And the tribe of Judah, the Levites and the Benjamites with them, were sent off into captivity to Babylon because they didn't repent. Now, verse 8. He says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Let's hold your place here and go to the book of Jonah. And let's see an example. The book of Jonah, in the minor prophets as they are called, the book of Jonah is very instructive for us. Book of Jonah. Give you a little time to find it. It's hard for everyone to find. Now, Jonah was a prophet that didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. So he decided that he was going to get on a vessel and sail away. God caused a storm, also raised up a huge fish or whale, whatever it was, caused a tempest. Finally, the crew, understanding that this storm was from God, they confronted Jonah, and he said, yes, I'm the reason. I'm running from God. So they said, throw him overboard. So they threw him overboard. And the fish swallowed him up, and he was in there 3 days and three nights. And I've often wondered, I wonder what he was thinking when he was in there. It also shows another lesson, too. It doesn't pay to argue with God. See? You may not land in the mouth of a big fish and be spared. So anyway, God told him, prophesy to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Now the Assyrians were Gentiles. They were not of Israel and Judah. And this is important to understand, that God judges all nations, Israel and Judah, and also all the rest of the nations. Now he says here, verse 4, chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, took off his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea! Let them turn every man from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. For who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10. God saw their works in the letter of the law. They turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil which he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And then Jonah was displeased with God. And the moral of the story is, Jonah, I will have you do what I want in spite of you, and I will do what I want also in spite of you. And so it was done. So that fulfills what he said here in Jeremiah. Now let's come back to Jeremiah 18. He said, "What instant I shall speak concerning a nation, against whom I pronounced, turn from the evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Now that's exactly what happened. Now you can go back and see how it happened with the kings of Judah. When there was a righteous king who repented, then God restored the land, restored the people. When there was an evil king that came along, then they had wars and sickness and disease and all of those things, you see. Now let's continue on in Jeremiah 18 and verse 9. "At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good where I said I would benefit them." And so then he says to the house of Judah there, "Couldn't I do this with you?" But the point I want to make is that God judges all nations. The things that happen in the world, it all in a part of the scheme of God, based upon the righteousness of the letter of the law. Now, let's understand why God did not require them to keep the spirit of the law. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 5 for just a minute here, because there was a reason. And the reason is that God had not given the Holy Spirit to them. God had not given the Holy Spirit to them. Deuteronomy 5. And let's see how the people of Israel did. Moses is reiterating what happened when the Ten Commandments were given. And here's what the people said to Moses, verse 27, Deuteronomy 5. Said, "Moses, you go near. Hear all that the Lord shall say, and you speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto you, and we will hear it and do it. All people are well-intentioned. They intend to do good. But they don't have the spiritual heart to truly do good. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken unto you, and they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children after them." So the key is, until Jesus Christ came to reveal the righteousness of faith, there was not the Holy Spirit given to the people in general in order to keep the commandments of God beyond just the letter. So that's why he required the letter of the law. But they didn't even have the heart to keep the letter of the law, because they would get involved in other religions and they would modify it and adjust it to their liking. Now, to show you that keeping in the letter of the law cannot earn salvation, let's come to the book of Job, please. Book of Job. Let's come to chapter 34. Now you can read the first part, that Job was perfect and upright, sincere, in the letter of the law. Job did all the law-keeping and all the good things that God required. There was nothing wrong with the things that he did. However, human nature in Job exalted itself, and he thought that he was as good as God or better than God. Now, let's pick it up here, chapter 34 and verse 5. Chapter 34 and verse 5. "For Job has said, I am righteous, and God has taken away my judgment. So that was quite a thing that he said there. Now let's come over to verse 35. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. My desire, says Elihu, is that Job may be tried unto the end, which he was, because of his answers for wicked men. For he has added rebellion to his sin. He clapped his hands among us and multiplied his words against God. Now chapter 35 and verse 1. Elihu spoke moreover and said, do you think that this is right, Job, that you said, my righteousness is more than God's? For you said, what advantage will it be unto you, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed of my sin? I will answer you and your companions with you. Then he says, look to the heavens. Then he gave quite a long dissertation, and finally Job got his wish. Elihu quit speaking, and the Lord answered him out of a whirlwind, began to talk to Job. Now let's come to chapter 40, because this is the most instructive that we need here, because this shows us that even though in the letter of the law you do what is well, you are blessed of God, you receive the physical blessings, that you cannot earn salvation. That's important before we get into the righteousness of faith. No man, by any work, anywhere, can earn salvation. This is what God teaches here in Job 40. So let's read it. Let's see what you have to be able to do in order for you to earn salvation for yourself. And this is the thing that has stumped theologians and people alike, because they cannot understand the difference between the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. The requirement of the letter of the law for the physical blessings versus the requirement of the Spirit of the law and the Holy Spirit to have righteousness of faith. And too many religions mix the two. And too many of them end up with a lot of do's and don'ts, and things that you have to do, like penance and Hail Marys and Our Fathers and all kinds of good works so that you can earn forgiveness, so that you can earn salvation. All of that is contrary to God. Not in the Bible, by the way, anywhere. Chapter 40, Book of Job, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. He's saying to Job, come on, tell me. Answer it, Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. So then he shut his mouth. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind. Now notice God's mercy. He didn't exterminate Job. He could have destroyed him right on the spot, but he didn't do it. Answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare unto me. Will you disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Now this is the whole thing that every single religion does. When they come along and they say, the commandments of God you don't have to keep, the judgments of God you don't have to keep. And what they do with that, they cut themselves off further from God. Because will a man judge God? God is righteous in everything he does. And especially condemn me that you may be righteous. Verse 9. Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? Verse 10. Here's what you need to do in order to save yourself by your own works. Verse 10. Deck yourself now with majesty and glory. Okay, Job, let's see you turn on your glory. Can you shine and have glory as the sun like I am? No. Can you? No. Can any man or woman? No. Can you save yourself? No. Can any work save you? No. But you're required to keep the letter of the law. Deck yourself now with majesty and excellence. Array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will I confess unto you that your own right hand can save you, or that is your own righteousness can save you. So Job repented. Then when Job repented, he entered into the realm of the righteousness of faith. Because he trusted God. Now let's come to the section concerning the righteousness of faith. I'll let you study the rest of the scriptures there. One we need to come to Romans the third chapter. Let's go there, and then we'll get into the righteousness of faith. Romans 3, and this is one scripture which has thrown religious people, theologians, students, down through the ages because they did not understand what it really means. Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, now let's understand something from the Greek. There is no definite article in the Greek for the law. If there were the definite article, it would be ho nomos. In this case, it's just nomos, meaning works of law, not referring to the Ten Commandments necessary, but any work of any law. Okay? There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because law does not serve to justify. Gives the answer. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does. There was never any law created which, if you did it, you could earn eternal life. Not one single law. For example, let's just use the example that you do something 1,000 times, whatever it may be. Keep the Sabbath 1,000 times in a row. That you always love your wife, 10 years in a row without failing. That you always submit to your husband and never speak one word against him 10 years in a row. At the end of 10 years, you've got it made. So lo and behold, you perform that 998 times and you die. Then you're resurrected and brought up before the throne of God. You expect to be given eternal life. You know the old story? There's St. Peter standing there, and he's got your list and the account of good deeds and bad deeds, you know. And he looks at it and says, Lord, this person did pretty good. Got 998. But you decreed it must be 1,000, so therefore your word is true. So therefore you must go into the hellfire of ever-burning hell. You cannot come in to the kingdom of God because you were short 2. See, now that would be total mercilessness, wouldn't it? Just an example that you cannot earn it, it must be given. So the key is, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. As we've seen, law cannot save. Now verse 21. Now the righteousness of God, which we will cover here, the righteousness of faith, without the law, and this is another word which has just thrown people for a loop, because they say, you don't need any law. All you need is Christ. But the word here, without, does not mean the absence of. It means separate from. And there's a distinct difference between the absence of and separate from. Yes, Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God separate from the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all and upon them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now we will cover the righteousness of faith.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for